I want to read out this email to you and get your reaction. Don't forget, at any stage, you can message or WhatsApp on 085 122 55. That's 085 122 55. Hi, guys. I really need advice very quickly. I've been on the housing list for the last 7 years and currently on HAP, and we live in an area, let's just say, it's not the best, and I have 3 young children. I've been on the council for years trying to get housed, but the house we rent is a kip, and there's nothing else we can afford. Last week, all our prayers were answered. The council offered me a viewing, and it's a house in a lovely area, not far from where our house is. It's barely been lived in. It was abandoned by a family who emigrated and only built 6 months ago. When we went to see it, our eyes lit up. It had an extra bedroom and so much more space than the kip we live in, and has a bigger back garden, whereas the one we rent only has a small space out the back. Everything looks new and modern, and the kitchen is beautiful and open plan and everything I've ever dreamed of. We couldn't wait to accept the offer, but then the problem arose, and that is there's no pets allowed in the area, and according to the housing authority lady, they're very strict on the rule. We have a 5-year-old staffie called Maisie, and we love her to bits. My partner said we need to rehome the dog and take the house, and we only have until next week to decide. I'm surprised they even given you till next week. They normally only give you a few days. And I've said that we can't just abandon the dog. It would be like abandoning one of the children. My partner said our new home and our kids are our future, and that's much more important than the dog. And we'll find somebody to take the dog. But I'm not sure, as we've already asked our small circle of friends and family, and nobody's interested. My partner suggested maybe bringing the dog to Dogs Trust or SPCA. But I can't do that to the dog. It seems easy for him to forget the dog with the excitement of the new home, but I just don't feel that way. Although I love the home and I know the kids would be much safer and happier there, I can't leave the dog behind. The kids have already moved in their heads, and so I can't imagine life without Maisie. He thinks I'm being ridiculous, even considering turning down the offer because of the dog. He said, sure, the dog will be dead in a few short years, and we will have missed our dream home and the opportunity. What am I going to do, as I feel like the baddie in this situation? And my partner is saying we can't deprive our children of a beautiful home and area. I even asked the authority, would there be another one available soon? She said she will try her best but can't guarantee it. It would be like this one, as it's a diamond and most are not quite as good as this. What should I do? Abandon the dog or abandon the house? Let me know what you think. Abandon the dog or abandon the house? 085 122 55. Now, a lot of people are commenting online and saying that in most places you're allowed to have one dog. There are some council areas that don't allow pets. Most council areas that do allow pets don't allow dogs on the restricted breed list. And I think that may be the problem she has. I think she's confusing it slightly. But she does mention it's a staffie. That would be on the restricted dogs list. You're not allowed in most council areas to keep a dog on the restricted list. Anyway, what should she do? Abandon the dog or abandon the house? Let me know what you think. Lorraine, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, how are you?
Good. Lorraine, abandon the dog or abandon the house?
I think you already know my answer to this.
Now, in my own head, I know your answer to this, but I'm thinking, is she mad?
I would, as I said before, I have got a dog on the restricted breed list. She's a German Shepherd, Lulu. And if I wasn't allowed to bring her, I'm in a council house as well. And one of the conditions of me taking the house was I bring the dog with me. And if I wasn't allowed to bring her, I would have given the house up.
By the way, a lot of council houses don't allow dogs on the restricted dog breed list.
No, I understand that. Yeah. I completely understand that. And I understand that German Shepherd or Staffie can be perceived as dangerous dogs.
Yeah.
But as I explained, I have 3 kids. Lulu is a family pet. She is one of my kids, as you all know. I said to the council, either I can bring her with me or you can look for something else, somebody else to put into the house. She is. I couldn't turn my back on my dog.
It's becoming more common. There was an article in the paper last year about it, actually. It's becoming more and more common now for council houses to be offered with a restriction of no pets allowed.
Oh, I get that. No, I understand that. And I understand. But as I said, if the dog, like Lulu is part of my family, and I explained before when I was offered the house, I explained that I had a dog. She was a German Shepherd, and I explained if I wasn't allowed to bring her, or if she's on the restricted dog list, you're going to tell me when you offered me the house that I can't bring her, that I didn't even want to go see the house.
I see what you're saying, and I know how much people love their dogs, and dogs are really important to people, and they're like members of the family, and I get all of that, right? But she's got 3 kids, a husband or partner, whatever it is, and she's just been offered something that very few people get offered, a really nice house, practically brand new, 6 months old, in a lovely area. I mean, you've won the jackpot. And
would the council not work with her, though? Like, mine did. Mine, where I am in Westmead, as I said, I explained about my dog, and she was a German Shepherd, and before I went to view the house, I explained to them, and they worked with me. So would they work with her with the dog?
Or she's already said, according to the Housing Authority lady, they're very strict on the rule.
See, me personally, I couldn't. I as I said, like, I have three kids, and I have Lulu, and then I have Jay, but I couldn't.
Jay is your last animal, is he?
I couldn't imagine life without that dog. That dog has got me through some hard times.
So you turned down the house. So if you were this woman, you turn down the house.
I would turn down the house.
And your kids and your partner are left in, as she describes by her own words, a kip.
I would turn down the house. The dog is that important to me. Lulu is that important to me. I would turn
the
down
husband. Down. Okay, the husband said, "Sure, the dog will be dead in a few short years."
They'd be dead quicker.
And we'll have missed our dream home. They'd be there for life. The dog will be dead in 10 years. They'd be there for life.
But the dog, it's not a new dog. Like, it's a dog they've had for 5 years. It's not just a dog they've had for a couple of months. It is a member of the family.
I know it's a difficult, sad situation. I get that. But you have to use your head in these situations and think of your family as well. And I understand all of that. It would be heartbreaking. But you got to think of the kids.
I personally couldn't do it. I personally could not turn my back on Lulu. No way. I couldn't. I would turn down the house. If it was me, everyone's going to think I'm mad, and I know the phone.
No, they won't. No, I can guarantee you most people are going to agree with you. That's the problem.
They're all going to think I'm mad, but I couldn't. She has got me. Lulu is like one of my children. She has got me through some hard times, and she has been, it's going to sound mad, there for me when Jay's not here. But I couldn't. I would turn the house down.
Let me just go to Jen. Jen, hi, how are you? Stay there, Lorraine.
Hi, how are you doing?
Jen, this is a tough situation, isn't it?
I feel so sad after hearing her email. Like, I feel like crying for her and her family. This is just, it's just not right. I have a friend who's been on the housing list for years, so I know what a jackpot this letter is. She hasn't even heard from them in about 5 or 6 years. She's been on it 10 years because she's Irish and she's a single mother and she's not from Ukraine. You know, she's not even getting looked at. But I can't imagine turning down this amazing house. I mean, it would be rare.
It's rare that you would be offered, as she calls it, a diamond, right? I mean, it's a six-month-old house. Oh, well, true, yeah.
It's to be offered anything. That's what I'm saying. So,
yeah, six-month-old house in a nice area. I mean, what more can you ask for?
I'm wondering, what do the kids feel? Because, like Lorraine, I have a dog called Bandit. I got him right before COVID. I have been trying to adopt a dog for many months. And then we happened to get him in February 2020. And like Lorraine was saying, he has been my lifesaver. I'm a nurse. I had to go up to COVID ICU in March and April. And I was, you know, no one wanted to be near me in case I had the virus. And the only one who was near me was Bandit. You remember back in March 2020?
Oh, I do. Yeah. Everyone was avoiding each other. It was like the plague, literally.
Yeah, but also, too, because I didn't know what kind of disease it was or if it was airborne or droplets. I remember they were like, you're carrying it. But neither here nor there.
The dog was your only friend. Yeah.
He was my only friend. And like that, I'd like to know. I would probably have to, you know, I know what a golden ticket this is. But as Lorraine said, like, Bandit is my third baby. Like, I call him. I have two girls. I was like, where's your brother? He'll mind you. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I can't imagine. Like, I wonder how our kids would feel. Like,
Bandit,
you know,
and Lulu would get on great, by the way. Can I just point out?
Oh, my God, totally. Yeah.
I'm not the only mad one.
You're both mad.
I call him my favorite child because he's the boy I never had. And, like, that's a big joke, like, in the family. But
I'm going to make a guess, by the way, Jen, from your accent, because somebody just said in my ear, I bet she's from Boston. And I said, no, I bet she's from Brooklyn.
No, the Bronx. You're all wrong. The Bronx.
Okay, we were just guessing.
But I know they all make fun of me at work. Dog and coffee and quaff and all the rest of it. But no, I'd like to know how do her kids feel? Because like that, if you know, thankfully I'm lucky that I have a house. I'm very, very blessed. But I would imagine, like, if I said to my kids, we've had Bandit now for 4 years, if I told them we had to get rid of him for some reason, they would be devastated. Like, when we were on holiday, like,
well, I'm not she says in her email that the kids are already planning the move in. They're delighted. You know,
that's what I'm confused. That's what I don't know. I'm confused because, you know, really you'd have to, like, the way I feel, like, you have to kind of take in your partner and your kids' feelings too. So I honestly, I don't have any advice. I just have heartfelt sympathy for her. And I think we live in a shocking country that a local council could do this to people. And I just think it's wrong on so many levels. And my heart goes out to her, her kids, her dog, and her partner. And I hope they make the best decision for them.
Stay there. Well, stay there, both of you. Now I'm going to put the rat in among the pigeons or the Steve, hi.
Lorraine.
Why do I know what you're going to say, Steve?
So, well, you know, I'm genuinely shocked by this. I can't believe that people would actually put the needs of an animal before their family.
But it is their family. It is their bandit.
Lorraine is Jen's family.
Lorraine said that people are going to think I'm mad, and Niall said, no, they won't. Niall, you're wrong. I don't think she's mad. I think she's knocking foot. She's off her head. There's something wrong with her. You'd give up your dream home for your kids, your lovely little kids, you know, the ones that will live hell of a lot longer than a dog.
Well, Lulu is one of my kids.
How old is Lulu?
7.
Lulu ain't got long left.
Oh, don't say that. Steve,
don't go there.
Don't go there, Steve. You'll upset her and Jay. He'll kill you.
Yeah, well, let me tell you, Lulu's on her last legs. So to be putting the knees of something...
She's perfectly healthy and perfectly healthy. She's in great form. We had her in the vet.
Just out of curiosity, Lorraine, what breed is your dog?
She's a German Shepherd.
Oh, okay. For some reason, I assumed you had a handbag dog, one of those little tiny, horrible, yappy things. Okay, fair enough. Either way, look, I get that people are, you know, affectionate and they love their animals. But in this scenario, I mean, are you just looking at it realistically? Don't blame the council. Don't blame anybody else. Blame yourself. If you're not going to take a home, your forever home, for your kids because of a dog, there's something wrong with you.
I was in this situation 3 years ago. I got offered my council house and I knew Lulu was on the restricted dog list. And before I went to view it, I said to my council, I have a German Shepherd and if I can't bring her with me, I don't want to see the house and I don't want it.
Well, what I would be telling the kids in this situation is, you know, the dog is going to a farm in the country. And we all know what that translates to.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, farm in the country, never to come back.
Yeah, never to come back. Yeah, where's the dog? Oh, it's in the farm in the country. Basically, you brought it to the vets and gave it the needle.
Steve, you can get it rehomed if you really want to go down that route. You don't have to put the dog asleep.
Yeah, why wouldn't I?
Why would you put a healthy dog asleep?
I'll tell you why, Niall. I'll tell you why. Because the callers that you have on this show are such fucking hypocrites. I swear to God, they really are. They love their dogs so much. Yet they care so little about other animals. So little about them.
I didn't care little about other animals.
But you eat them, don't you?
Yeah, I'm not a vegetarian. It doesn't mean... that I don't care about animals.
So you care about an animal that you're eating. That's a bit of a...
Well, okay, wait, sorry, Jen, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm just listening to these two.
Yeah, to these two. Yeah. But you heard what Steve said. Like, you know, the house is forever. The animal is only, in Lorraine's case, sorry, Lorraine, another 6 or 7 years.
2 years.
Oh, no, I'm not... Yeah, no, like I said, I have a friend who has been waiting to hear from the council. I have no advice to give this woman. I just feel sad that she's in this predicament. I honestly would not know what to do, honestly. If I had to, you know, rehome my dog, I personally would be devastated, but I also have a house. So, you know, honestly, I have no advice. I just have love and prayers for this woman and her family.
God.
How's about this for advice?
Yeah.
Get rid of the dog. It's a very simple solution. And I don't know why that these two callers are overlooking it. Just get rid of the dog. Because
it's not that easy.
It's not that easy.
Okay. It might not be easy.
Sorry,
I get it.
Have you ever had No, no, do you get it? Have you ever had an animal in your entire life? Have you ever owned a dog?
I've had loads of dogs.
How old were you? Were you a child? Did anything, you know, do you have no connection to them?
Like, no, none whatsoever. I have no feelings towards animals whatsoever. The animals to me don't bother me. I go out hunting. I've gone out hunting many times. I have no problem.
Yeah.
I have no problem.
But you wouldn't abide cruelty, intentional cruelty to an animal either.
Yeah. Well, no, I wouldn't personally be intentionally cruel to an animal. Whether somebody else is or not, if I saw it, I'd stop them. You know, but no, generally it doesn't bother me, you know, like animals being brought to farms and badly treated. I mean, you only have to see that documentary on RTE, was it last year, where the pigs or the cattle or something were being treated really badly, and everybody was going, oh my God, the poor animals, and they were all crying, and you're going, you arsehole, you're sitting down and eating that very same animal you just saw getting a kicking.
No, I do understand the point you're making. There's a level of hypocrisy, and I get that. But in saying, no, there is a level of hypocrisy, you know, and I'm the biggest hypocrite of all. I hate cruelty to animals, but yeah, I'd eat a burger. But okay, I get you. I do get you. But this is different. The animal, like in this case, Lorraine's dog, Lulu, is living with her.
She is.
She's not on the plate or in the oven. She's living with her.
Lorraine, my dear, you need to get out more and get a few friends. You really do.
I have friends, but Lulu's my best friend.
Your best friend is a dog.
Yeah.
Hang on. Just before I go to Morris, I've just got a voice note here I need to play that I've been told is extremely important. All right? Hang on.
Hey, Niall. Any chance you can stop trying to cheer me up today? I know where I stand in that house with Lorraine and that dog. You might as well go to the nearest brick wall you have there, Niall, and bang your head off it. Because that's the way it is when it comes to Lulu.
I don't know if Lorraine heard that because sometimes the callers can't hear him. Okay, yeah, that was your Jay. That's your husband. Yeah, he knows his place.
He does.
Hang on. Morris, hi.
Oh, Jay is in love with Lulu. There's the one for the people, huh?
Yeah, Lorraine and Lulu, huh?
Yeah. Listen, I'm very similar to Steve, funny enough. You know, I said to your researcher earlier on, I'd gladly come to any family and shoot the dog in the head and bring it down to the local Chinese. And Lulu sounds like a lovely name for the 57 in the Chinese takeaway.
If I ever find you and Stephen, I'm going to kill the two of you.
Listen, do you remember growing up as a kid, we couldn't say the posh word, hey, mister, is that dog in Alastation? No, actually.
Lulu and curry sauce.
Yeah, there you go. Number 57, please, Rip. Prawn crackers. But listen, Niall, I can't believe that at this day and age that there's a council out there that doesn't allow pets in a home.
When they say pets, they're talking primarily about dogs, right? Cats. You can keep goldfish and lizards and snakes all you want, right? There was an article in the paper last year that it's become more common for the council to offer people houses with a restriction on no pets. There's also a restriction that's been around for years in most council areas that if you take a council house, you can't have a dog that's on the restricted breed list. Now, this dog she has is on the restricted breed list, like Lorraine.
Right.
So it's
like
a staff.
Lulu is as well.
Yeah, like yeah. Lulu is. Yeah. So there are a lot of council houses with restrictions. Yeah.
I'm with family. To me, family comes first. Forever home. Everybody gets together and the dog comes later down the road. If they've had it for 5 years, if they can't rehome it, to be honest with you, if you love it that much, get it shot, get it stuffed and get the taxidermy and get it melted. Have it in your front window. And say, look at that lovely garden you could have run around. Yeah. So there you go. Everybody's a winner. The dog is still in the home except he doesn't do anything. But look there. Look at you go.
And doesn't show you everywhere.
Yeah. You know what? I had a lovely 7 years with you and thanks for the stuffing.
Oh, that's so mean.
It's reality. I'd do it to me wife if I could get away with it.
Stuff her and put her on the mantelpiece.
You know what the priest said to me when I was walking up the altar? This is the day you realise you can't be happy all your life.
So, Morris, are you being serious in relation to the dog? Do you believe she should abandon the dog and take this home? This is a dream home. It's a brand new house. It's everything she's ever wanted. It's a lovely area for the kids. They're in a kip at the moment by her own admission. So you think she should take it and abandon the dog?
Exactly. You're not abandoning it. You're sacrificing the dog for the happiness of your children and the happiness of a home.
There you go, sacrifices.
Like they say in the cartoon, let it go. Let it go.
Let it go.
Off the Joe, no. Let it go.
No, no. I couldn't.
Yeah, then when you're celebrating, your parting of the dog, you could have a cup of coffee. Then you'd be grand.
I couldn't.
Lorraine, can I ask you a question?
Can
I ask you a question, Lorraine? Right, now, do me a favour, right? Let's pretend Niall and Morris and the listeners out in there. It's just me and you. We're talking. We're buddies. We're sitting down and having a cup of coffee here. Right, so, Lorraine, do you love the dog more than you love your fella?
Do I love Lulu more than Jay? Yes.
Wow.
Jay, I hope you listen.
He is listening. But here's it. But here's the thing, Morris. Jay knows that already. This is not a big deal.
Jay knows that.
Yeah. Like if the house is burning down and the fireman said, or you said, oh, my husband and my dog are in the house, Lulu and Jay. And the fireman says, I can only save one. I know what Lorraine would say.
Lulu.
Yeah.
Save Lulu.
Niall.
Yeah.
Niall.
Yeah.
All my adult life, all my childhood life, we had about 10 dogs that ended up on the farm. So I know what it's like.
Oh, I had one dog that ended up on the farm.
9 or 10 we had.
I can still remember the dog just missing one day. I asked, I remember as a kid, where's the dog? It's gone to a farm.
Yeah.
Gave it to
and
a farmer.
My father was a coachie from Kerry, right, that moved up to Dublin and ran away with my mother. And he'd go, oh, the whole farmer now needed a hand to get the sheep in. And we'd go, Jesus, Lassie's a great dog for bringing in the sheep. And then Bruno went, and then Toby went, and then Rasher went, and then Blondie
Rasher.
Rasher.
Yeah, I mean, but at least they're decent dog names. But Lulu's not really a dog name, is it?
The best dog
Rasher's
ever
not had, a dog name.
My neighbour's dog, and his name was Rinty Lawler. I never forgot him. He'd catch a bag of a lump of coal out of the air at 100 feet.
Yeah. Dogs even have second names now, it seems. Thank you, Morris. Let me go to Albert. Stay there, Lorraine. Albert, hi.
Yeah, hi, Niall.
How you doing?
Look, it's a real helpful choice here, isn't it? She's stuck between a rock and a hard place. You know, if she loves her dog, we've got three dogs. Couldn't see us doing or having the choice that she'd have. Oh, my God, it's really awful.
What would you do?
Well, I don't know. I think I probably wouldn't take the house.
You wouldn't take the house?
Oh,
you'd stay in the kip rather than take the house because you had to get rid of the dog.
But the problem is that like, the dog becomes one of the family. The dog might as well be one of your children. I mean, if you had three kids, would you give one of them away and say, well, we'll move with the other two and take the house? That's the way it becomes. It's you know, I think you've got to be in the situation to understand it, you know? It's very hard. I mean, it's easy for someone who doesn't have a dog to say, I should get rid of the dog. But when you have a dog for 5 years, the dog is, it gives you unconditional love. And, you know, you just can't do that. Just can't.
Mm. Albert, newsflash, your dog is not one of your kids. Not one of your kids.
Well, I know, I understand that. But
can I just point out, it's
like
a different
one of your
species.
Kids.
Yeah, but it's a different
species. I understand that.
It doesn't even
but
talk
you've
to
got
you.
To, you have
it
to be there to understand it, you know?
It sits there wagging its tail, looking at you and all happy and stuff. Yeah, it's cute. I get it. I get the fact that dogs are cute. I get that. But this is, you're giving up a home for your children, your missus, your future, all for the want of a dog that's going to pop its clogs in a couple of years' time. So you'd put your children through crap.
It's not that easy. It's not.
So what you're saying is you would allow your children to people.
Yeah. So Lorraine, sorry, Steve. You said Lulu is one of your kids.
Yeah.
Lulu is not one of your kids, Lorraine.
Different species. You didn't give birth.
All right, I didn't give birth to her, but she is like one of my kids.
100%. No, she's not.
Yeah, I agree.
You agree that Lulu's one of Lorraine's kids? Or what?
No, I agree that when you have an animal, it becomes like it's part of your family. Okay, it's not going to be one of your kids, and maybe it's probably the wrong
what
way to say
goldfish?
It. But they do become part of your family.
What about Goldie the goldfish? Does that become part of your family?
Believe me, I had a goldfish for 10 years, and believe me, it got treated better than one of us. It was a little pet.
So, and Herman yes, the hamster.
It was one of the family.
Herman the hamster.
You know, are these family members? Do they get their surname? Do they have birth there?
I remember in the old days, dogs had surnames. I remember people used to, because dogs used to roam the streets when I was a kid, right? They weren't in houses. And our dog's name was Terry. And people used to call him Terry Boylan. They used to go, Terry Boylan, come here. And then they'd actually give him a second name. On a very serious note. No, let's be serious for 2 minutes if we can. Albert, this woman has just been, she's on the council housing list for years. She's in a kip at the moment that she doesn't like. She can't afford anything else. She's on the HAPS game, right? She's just been offered a house, which is rare in this day and age at the moment, as you know how bad, how difficult it is to get housing. Not just a house, but a house that's brand new in a really nice area with a modern kitchen, bigger than her own house, with a back garden that she didn't really have in the last house. And she's turning it down for a dog? Really, Albert? Come on. Come on. She's got three kids.
I understand where you're coming from with it, but you know the dog is part of the family. As I say, look, when you become attached to an animal like that, it is like one of your kids.
I love animals, and I loved my dogs throughout the years, etc. And I get it. I get all of that, but you still have to put your logical hat on you at some point.
Let me ask Albert a question. Albert, let's say you came to my house and out in the back garden, I had a pet cow, right? I had Sally the pet cow. And you look at me and you go, is he bleeding mad or what? He has a pet cow. And I go, oh, Sally's a part of my family. I love her to bits. You know, she's my best friend. I talk to her all the time. You would say to me, well, you wouldn't probably say it to me, but you would definitely think it. There's something wrong with him.
My sister lives on the farm. They've got pet goats. They've got all sorts of things. And they're all little pets going around the place. But they don't end up on the plate. That's the thing. They actually stay there. They just enjoy themselves roaming around. She doesn't have them as
a grey farm, is it?
A farm
not
eating on the plate. Yeah.
You know, I get it. Let me go to Jonathan. Lorraine, you want to see some of the texts coming in here? They all think you're mental. Jonathan, hi.
How are you?
Good. Jonathan, I understand people love their dogs and their cats and everything else, but I mean...
And their cows.
Yeah. Would you give up a dog for a new house?
Look, like you said yourself, Daniel, how long is she going to be waiting for another house? You know, this. You have kids,
She might never get an opportunity like this again. She turns this down, the next one she gets offered could be a dump. You know what I mean?
Let her ask herself the question. Is that house far from where she is now? Or would she be passing by that house? No.
No, it's actually near where she is at the moment, but in a much nicer area, she said.
Right, well, if she's driving past that house in a year's time, there's a family sitting in there and loving the life, the new house and all that, and she's at home with a dog in a kip, like he's having her three kids in school and all the rest. Yeah. You know, common sense has to prevail. Look, I have a dog. But if I needed to move house tomorrow, the dog would have to go. If that was the, bottom line for it.
Yeah,
right. You know what? Who doesn't love their dog, you know? Yeah. But, like, at the end of the day, it's just a thing. There's three kids. The husband wants to go. How's he going to feel if this falls apart next week? You know, what kind of atmosphere is going to be in the house that they're in now, you know?
Oh, can you... Lorraine, can you imagine it? Can you imagine the atmosphere of Lorraine in the house if they turn this down?
I could imagine, but could you imagine how she's going to feel having to give up her dog and part of her family?
Look,
she'll be sad.
Your dog doesn't have a forever memory. Your dog will, if it gets a good home going forward, hopefully it does, it goes into a good home, it'll be well taken care of, it'll be all okay. But again, Lorraine, you have kids for us, you know, your priorities have to be.
I've been in this situation. 3 years ago, I was offered my council house. And I was told, I told them before I moved into it, I have a dog on the restricted dog list. If I can't bring her with me, I don't want the house. And that was
I can understand that's your bottom line with it. And I'm not, I'm not disagreeing with your bottom line. But again, your husband wants to go. The three kids have already moved in the head, if I believe you said that earlier on in your text. Everyone's out of that house you're in already, in their heads. They're all looking forward to their better future, summer ahead, barbecues in the back garden, swing set, whatever it is. You know, and you're going to put all that on the line for a dog. And I'm not disputing that you love your dog very much. I'm not disputing it's a great therapeutic thing to bring your dog for a walk and all that. I have a dog myself. It's great. I understand all that. But bottom of the line, I have three kids as well. If I was in a kip and I wasn't happy and we were struggling, we were suffering, mental health was falling apart, and someone offered me at the house with the decision to get rid of the dog, you know...
Well, hang on. I just want to bring Sarah in on this as well. Sarah, hi. How are you?
How's it going, Niall?
How you doing? Okay, you do pet therapy every Monday.
I do, yeah.
Okay.
And it's very effective for people.
Yeah.
And I think it only breaks children's hearts, actually, if they took that dog away from that family home. 5 years. Come on.
So
you know, and it's not fair. I'd actually sneak the dog into the house and say no. That's what I do.
I see. I don't know. I know people love their pets, Sarah. You know what I mean? You can't just sneak the dog into the house. Somebody will snitch. Somebody will snitch.
But
you can do is, right? You can get a friend or family to take the dog for a couple of weeks, wait till things air out and down a bit, and then move the dog in. And be sure whatever house they're going to, that there's other people around the area that have dogs. And it could be sure of that as well.
But somebody could snitch. At least with Lorraine, she got permission in the end, right? But so if you bring a dog, particularly a dog that's on the restricted breed list, Sarah, and it is a dog on the restricted breed list, to an area and somebody complains, the dog is going to have to go. It'll have to go anyway.
I'm telling you now. Actually, do you know what? I know somebody, right, that got a rescue dog and it was a mutt thing. And he had it for a couple of years. And the benefits that one of our children got from the dog, and that actually interfered with his growth, his personal growth. You know what I mean?
Not having a house will interfere more.
I was going to say the same to Steve.
You know what? If I got a hole with you, I'd put you in the oven, I would. You know that? Or I'd stuff you and hang you on the wall. The one out of that. You need to do it alone. I know there's probably not getting done already, but I mean in another area.
Let me ask Lorraine one more question. So, Lorraine, we've garnered from this conversation and previous conversations that you love Lulu more than your own partner, which is slightly weird. So let me ask you a slightly different question. If you had to choose between Lulu or one of your children?
Obviously, if it came down to it between my actual, like, my babies that I've birthed and the dog.
Stop there for a second. She's actually thinking about this. Lorraine, we have to accept this is an unhealthy relationship. You and
obviously
Lulu.
My kids would come first.
Okay, so now that, great, and I'm so happy you said that. You don't need psychiatric help. So here, if your kids do come first, then that's what should happen in this situation. The woman's kids should come first. They need a home more than they need a dog.
Sarah, Sarah, would you not agree with that? They need a home more than they need a dog.
I don't care. Well, you need a dog as well to make a home. So,
What's your dog's name? What's your dog's name again? Boomer, isn't it?
My dog's name is Bouncer. Bouncer. My dog's name is Bobby.
And Bouncer.
Bobby and Bouncer
and Lulu.
Yeah, yeah. And so if you were, if you were in that same situation, you'd turn the house down, Sarah, yeah?
100%. No, I wouldn't actually turn the house down. I'd stay on the QT, take the house, say nothing to nobody. Yeah, right.
Sneak them in.
And then after a while, I'd move the dog in. And once the dog is in, there's no way they'll get that dog out.
Oh, they will. I've seen it happen. I actually had a girl. I had a girl on the air in tears going back about 7 years ago that the council were coming and that they'd already sent her a letter telling her she had to take the dog out of the house or rehome the dog. And they were coming. An inspector was coming to make sure the dog had been removed.
Well, I tell you what, Niall, all she has to do is go down to the doctor and tell her the benefits that dog had, the effect on their child, and they would not remove that dog. There you go.
Well, maybe,
and that's the fact,
maybe,
no matter what sort of breed there is.
Maybe that'll work, but of course, a lot of council houses don't allow dogs, and a lot more of them don't allow dogs that are on the restricted list.
Listen, a lot more of them don't allow their boyfriends, and sure, what are they doing? They're sleeping there as well. So listen, the way I look at it is, take the house, and if the husband wants to start going on giving a load, this, that, and the other, okay, right, there is a bit of
giving it loads.
Sanity to what you're
giving
saying.
A load.
But at the end of the day,
yeah,
a man needs to know his place, stay on the home.
What? Exactly. What? Excuse me? Hold on. Wait, whoa. Put on the fucking brakes there for a second.
Thanks, Lorraine.
A man needs to know his place in the home. Get back into the kitchen, woman.
Excuse me? Jay knows his place in my house. Thank you very much.
Yeah, well, you back into the kitchen. Why do women have small feet? So they can stand
up to
the
cooker. Oh, here we go. So there's more room in the kitchen.
Now, Sarah, what do you mean a man needs to know his place in the home?
He does. He needs to know who's the boss and when to keep the mouth shut. And
not you.
Exactly. He needs to know his place.
Right.
To him, he must obey.
Right. I didn't know. I wasn't aware of that. But if I had said that about a woman on the air, you know, people would complain.
You get 50 lashes and 10 hairs there.
I mean, we only had a referendum there about a month ago, asking, you know, about a woman's place in the home. And some of yous were going mad. Thankfully, most of yous voted no. But some of yous are going mad. Now you're telling me a man should know his place in the home.
This is amazing.
You know what? Every day, Niall Boylan, every day you're beginning to sound like Del Boy. I swear to God. That's the only thing. That's not one word of a lie. Show after show, in the middle of the show. And when the more I listen to you, I say, where in the name of God is that character? So familiar. And it's always only fools and horses. That's the only way I can describe you.
Do you know what?
You're like,
I swear to God, this is probably one of the most amazing conversations I've listened to. And I tell you why. Because we have one woman who clearly doesn't love her partner enough over the dog. She had to think about, did she love her kids more than the baby dog? And the other woman that's on their air is saying, sneak the dog into the house that you're not supposed to. I mean, what in the name of... And, oh, a man's place, a man should know his place?
Yeah.
These are all bleeding nuts.
That's
I said at the start of the show, everyone's going to think I'm mad.
And then she says, I sound like Del Boy. I don't sound like Del Boy. Lovely jubbly, lovely jubbly. Okay, stay there. Let me just go to
this
Patricia.
Time next year, you'll be a millionaire.
Oh, yeah, I wish. Patricia, hi, how are you?
Not too bad at all, Niall. Listen, there's I am.
Yeah. Do I sound like Del Boy?
I won't say.
Oh, jeez.
You're all right. You're grand. Come here. I have to say now, I've been listening there, Saya, for quite a while, and I've done a bit of research and the whole lot like it, okay? I would side with her partner 110% because a dog is not for life. A dog can go on the road tomorrow evening and he can get knocked down, but the children is for life.
Yeah.
Whether you like them or not, you have to have them.
Yeah.
So you have to look after them. And I've had animals, and I've had animals that died. But the thing is, you can always replace an animal. Why doesn't she put that dog up all over the country and somebody will take that dog?
Stick it up on Dundee or something like.
Yeah. But you see, I can see the point of view from the councils at this stage in this country. And they have liability insurance. And who's responsible for that dog? We've already had a case down the other side of the country.
That's right.
One has mentioned it on here. Where that little boy's face
was destroyed.
And destroyed for life. And he's not the first one in this country that has been attacked by a dog like this.
Yeah.
Or any type of a dog, to tell you the truth, because you can't trust them. But the liability insurance that the council have, people seem to forget that they sued left, right and centre every day with animals. And I don't think if she went into that house in the morning with that dog, even if she was allowed, I don't think the neighbours would take too kindly to it. So she's friction caused already within the estate with her neighbours and with her children inside there to play with other children with that dog in the first place. So I think the best thing to do is abandon the dog, take the roof over your head for the children, or end up outside in the street in the car with your three children. And is that what you'd like to do? I'd be beginning to wonder, is it the mom that needs this dog or is it the children that needs this dog? I think the mother needs the dog more than the children need the dog at the end of the day.
I have to say, very sensible, Patricia. Lorraine, did you listen to Patricia? She's a rock of sense.
Pull that lady out of a lucky bag, did you?
No, I did not pull that lady out of a lucky dog.
I didn't pull her out of a lucky bag.
No.
Private estate that has dogs in it.
Yeah, but the thing is, yes, you have small dogs. Yes, you're allowed small dogs to a certain extent.
But I'm telling you now.
You have to look at the side of the council. Are the council going to put a roof over families' heads? Are they putting on over animals' heads? Which of them is it? You know, and the council is in the very first to do that.
Okay, so hang on, sorry, one at a time. Sorry, just respond to Patricia, what Patricia said, and I know Lorraine wants to say something too. Sorry, Sarah, respond away there. Go on.
Saying councils are trying to put roofs over families' houses and or heads and stuff like that. But at the one time, like, part of the family unit, you have a dog. Like, would it be the same impact if you had a goldfish?
Really not. But
the problem is, you see, there's some very responsible... No, just 1 minute, Lorraine. There's some very responsible families there, love their dogs, they mind them, and they put them on leads. But you have families that abuse that situation, that dogs run right around estates and the whole lot, and children get bit by them. And this is the problem, and that's not exactly a dog that you'd let run around the place or if you got out the back door for a stranger's
child. Can I pick up on a point you made?
Yes. Yeah.
You said about neighbours not liking these type of dogs that, like, I'm assuming you're talking about staffies and dogs that are under
strict. No. Yeah. I'm saying they may not. It might cause friction for the family.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Can I pick up on a point? Like, that's what you said, that you're thinking their neighbours mightn't like these type of animals and mightn't like these type of dogs. As I said, I have a German Shepherd. My neighbours love her. She's not outside roaming the streets. When she's outside, she's out on a leash, she's out with us. None of my neighbours have a problem with her. You can't use that as an excuse either, that the neighbours aren't going to like her. What, because it's a
But they may not like it. They may not like
it. She just said they may not like it. And this is what I said to Lorraine about sneaking the dog in. The neighbours may report it.
I don't agree with sneaking the dog in. If you're going to have the dog, be honest about it, because someone can feel on you and you're going to get in more trouble.
But Patricia's making the point, is why would you deny your children, you know, the possibility of their future forever home?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no houses in this country. It's next and near impossible to get a house.
A nice house, yeah, particularly.
A nice house, any kind of a house, to tell you the honest truth. I know where I live. You can't get anything. There's people that can't get emergency accommodation where I live. You know, I would grab that house with two hands.
I know exactly how this woman feels.
I know, Lorraine, but sometimes you have to make sacrifices for your children at the end of the day. You know,
if I had taken my dog away from my kids and we've had her that long, it'd devastate my kids. I know that for a fact. My kids would be devastated.
But would they
get over it, Lorraine?
Obviously they would, but at the same time, I wouldn't put them in that situation. I wouldn't.
But I don't know where you were living before you got your nice house at the moment, right, from the council. I don't know where you were living. I don't know whether it was a kip, whether it was a nice place.
No, it wasn't a kip. I was in a nice house.
Okay, so you were renting, I assume, before that, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, but this woman is not in a nice house. She says she's renting a kip by her own admission because they can't afford anything else. Now, if I had three kids and she said the area she's living in is a kip, if I had three kids and I was living in a kip, in a house that was a kip, and the council were offering me a six-month-old house in a really nice area that was bigger with a big back garden and lots of room and space, I would find it so difficult to turn it down for the sake of a dog.
And I'd be the opposite. I'd find it 100% difficult to turn it down for the dog.
What would happen, Lorraine, tell me, if she turns down that house, okay, in 2 weeks' time, that dog goes out, runs across the road and gets knocked down. Do you not think that her children would begrudge the fact that they were going to get a beautiful house and her mother turned it down because of the dog? And the dog is gone in 2 weeks' time. And they're still left in a kip or nowhere or inside a hotel room.
It's clear that it's the mother that wants the dog. It's very obvious.
It is. I think she's very selfish. She has to take her children into account. And I know we all love animals. I was brought up with animals. My children had animals growing up. But at the end of the day, you have to put the children first. It's not as if, though, there's plenty of houses out there that you can pick and choose in the morning. It's not there anymore. Times have changed. You also have to look at the insurance for councils around this country that have been sued left, right and centre. And the thing is, people don't insure their dogs. They don't insure their properties when they go into any kind of a property, be a council house or be a private property. And they've no insurance whatsoever, and they're suing landlords. So you have to look at that side of things as well with animals.
I personally believe, and I genuinely do believe, that dogs have no place
in housing estates whatsoever. You only have to look at, as that lady said, that young boy, Alejandro, that was attacked and had his face ripped off. Now, I seen the photographs of that not too long ago. And I know that, Niall, you had a lady on your show. She does the cars, doesn't sell EV cars. What was her name?
Nadia.
Nadia, she went and she visited that young boy and she brought him out to be 007 for the day. Lovely little kid. And the pictures of him beforehand and after would absolutely smash your heart. Dogs are animals. They have the potential to bite and attack. And they should not be around children, full stop. And they should not be in housing estates.
But when you say they should not be around children, a lot of people have pets, Steve, or have dogs in the house. And 99.9% of the time, they don't attack children. Unfortunately, there are dogs. And I'm just going to say it. I don't care what the staffy owners or the bulldog owners think. It tends to be certain breeds that we see the worst damage being done because they're very powerful breeds. Yep. And we can't deny that. They can all send in their complaints now if they want. We can't deny that. That's just a fact of life. It is certain breeds. That's why the council specifically have a list of dogs that you're not allowed to have in a council estate.
That are on the restricted dog list.
Yeah. And by the way, Lorraine, your dog is one of those dogs.
Clearly, this is what this woman has, because if she has a dog that's on the dangerous dog list, don't be bringing that into a housing estate where some innocent child or adult could be attacked and viciously mauled to the point where their life is going to be changed forever.
Stay there. Let me just finally, because I need to finish this up. Okay. Let me just bring Anna. Hang on, I want to bring Anna in before I finish up. Anna, hi, how are you?
Not too bad, now.
I'm good. What do you want to say?
I snuck my dog in here. And she's 12, and there's no way I'd be giving her up. Now, my predicament is the county council own this place, you know, the bricks and mortar.
Yeah.
But there's a charity that actually runs it for 25 years.
Yeah, the housing authority.
I was given a set of keys. Nobody asked me nothing. My dog came with me. Now, there is no dogs in this building. And so she snuck in, and all I can say is, let them, if they find out, let them try take me or the dog out, because the barricades are going up and I'll be having food droned to me balcony, and that's how it's going to go here.
Droned to your balcony.
And it'll be barricaded. If the place be barricaded, there's no way they're getting this dog.
I understand how passionate you are about it, but this is not the situation she's in. And fair play to you. And look, I'm delighted for you. You and your dog are happy, right? But...
Yeah, and another thing is I'll have to use the Mental Health Act, you know what I mean? Because if you take a dog off somebody, you know, it's detrimental.
I don't think they'll buy that one. I'm sure that excuse has been used many times by people. I'm sure they're well used.
That is the barricades. That is the barricades.
Okay, but forget about your situation, right? Because your situation is slightly different, right?
Yeah, that's just me now.
Yeah, and you're happy out, and that's grand, right? But here's a woman with three kids and a husband or a partner. They're in a kip at the moment, Anna.
Yeah.
In a dump. She, by her own admission, it's a kippy area, it's a kippy house. They've just been offered a brand new house that's much bigger, big back garden for the kids, the kitchen of her dreams, she says. It would be rare you would be offered something like this in the council. People do get offered new houses, but it's rare, right? You're really lucky. You're one of the chosen few. And she's going to turn it down because they won't allow the dog. House for life for the kids.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm old enough, you know, my kids are kind of grown up. Depends what age our kids are. I do agree with audience members there that it's basically horrid. Like the dog has, or the husband hasn't got a 100% relationship with the dog. But in saying that, she's on the hap. It's a once in a lifetime opportunity. She'll have to make a decision. You know, it's not going to come up again. Not the way Ireland is at the moment.
No.
I would actually get back onto her and tell her to put the dog into kennels for a while until she finds a good home for the dog, and let the kids have a once a month or every 2 months visit with the dog, so the dog, they can see the dog has a happy home, and then like the kids can look at where they are. A kip, of course, their mental health and their future mental health is going to be run down there in that place. And anyway, it might be new schools, better schools, you know.
Could be, yeah.
Other programs.
Are you listening, Lorraine? Lorraine, are you listening to all this?
Yeah.
People who love their dogs, Anna loves her dogs, but she's being sensible.
Yeah, I'd have to, you know, if the kids were younger, you couldn't stand where you were and everything, you know what I mean? I'd have to explain to the kids, listen, depending on their, you know, if you're 3, 4 or 5, I'd say it went to the farm. But if they're a bit older, they have a massive, I know foreigners wouldn't realise most dogs sleep in people's fucking beds and everything in Ireland. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? You know, get in here, Peppy, let's go sleep for the night. You wait, who's fucking snoring? Is it me or the dog? You know what I mean? But she'd have to really think about that. Like, I think she loves that dog just like I'd love my dog. But better area, kids, the whole lot. I would get back on the phone, tell her to foster that dog out until they can get a proper home. Or what I did here as well, Niall, is I have 2 nosy neighbours, and the minute I moved in, because the place was left that long, they thought, you were wondering whether or not I bought the house or I, you know, it was a charity. Basically, without saying fuck off, I said I bought it. And the only reason I said I bought it was because of me bleeding dog, because if the dog barked, who they complain to?
Yeah, you see? Your house, my house. I'll do what I want with it. Yeah,
so
yeah.
I put me dog before anybody else, so nobody can ring effing nobody about my dog, because literally I bought me house to them. Yeah,
yeah. I get you. Mind your own business. In other words, thanks for that, Anna. I gotta go to Joseph. Hi, Joseph.
Hi, you know. Thanks for having me on.
Anna's got a good attitude to life, I have to be honest with you. Joseph, you heard Lorraine. She would rather die than give up the dog. Rather die.
I can understand. And look, with pretty much most of the situations that you come on your show, the fault here is always with the government.
I don't blame the government for this one.
Tell me now, why is the dog not allowed? Why is the dog? There's no good reason.
Hang on. There is good reasons. And we had a whole conversation about with the councils many years ago about this, because we had similar situations. Some areas don't allow dogs at all, and some areas just allow dogs, but not the ones on the dangerous dogs list, right? And the reason for it is insurance. It's for insurance. Because if the dog bites somebody while it's on the premises, say the postman walks in the garden and the dog bites them, who's responsible? The people living in the house are not responsible. The council is.
Why is the council responsible, not the people? If they have a dog that's going to bite people, they should have it.
Because it's on the council.
It's on the council property.
Yeah, but the dog can still walk onto the property. Like, if a stray dog walks onto the property, then, you know, they can't stop that.
No, I'm just saying, you're asking me that, what's the reason? That's the reason. It's insurance.
Well, it's a stupid reason. Yeah.
And by the way, it's also a safety issue, too. You know, if you've got, you know, people on council houses with loads of staffies and Alsatians running around biting people.
Yes. Well, yeah, look, you could have a system where, you know, you're allowed to have your dog if there's a problem, if there's complaints, then we come around and we try to say, look, come on, we
they don't have the staff to be watching people all the time, so it's easier just to bring in a rule.
No, we have a couple of billion that we just sent off to this and that charities and this and that NGOs. That money should be going to staff if they want to do this. And so people aren't being ripped apart. Like, the dog is a member of the family for some people. And
it's a dog, yeah, but it is a member of the family. I get why it's a member of the family, but it's not as important as the other members of the family. It can't be.
Emotionally, it kind of is. To some people, it is. I know you understand that, right?
Yeah, I get that too. Although Lorraine is the exception. She's a bit mental. Yeah.
Yeah, look, them saying a blanket ban, no dogs at all, no one's allowed, that's just them being arseholes and not giving the effort and thought and energy that they deserve to the people. Like, that's the point of government, is that they're doing the work, we don't have to. They're putting in the energy, so we don't have to. So if they're just blanket banning, saying no dogs at all, what if it's a second, you know, little ankle biter chihuahua type of thing? That's not going to cause any insurance issues. If it's one of those little dogs that you know, does nothing, sit at home all day, it's 16 years old, almost on death's door, they still say no. Like, who's that going to bite?
Well, I understand the rule has to be a blunt instrument. You know what I mean?
What?
The rule has to be a blunt instrument. It can't take everybody's circumstances into consideration. It doesn't matter.
It can allow everything until there's a problem and then intervene. It can't proactively blanket ban.
Okay, here's the deal at the moment. As it stands, Joseph, she's not allowed to bring the dog. Right? So, so what should she do?
She should walk the dog one day to the new house, leave a load of treats outside. The dog will realise that they can go to the house every other day, get the treats, be with the family, but they'll say, no, we don't have a dog. It's just a stray that shows up.
Joseph.
And we feed the dog.
Okay, Joseph, let's be real.
I think everyone has a responsibility to flaunt the laws that are reckless. Not say reckless, but are stupid. If you are not flaunting a stupid law, you are stupid yourself.
Yeah, well, I tell you now, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't want somebody living next door to me if I had young kids with a staff.
Well, no, look, if the dog is a danger, you can call up and say, look, there's a dangerous dog around. And
I don't want a staffy living next door to me. I don't want a staffy.
No, what if it was a 16-year-old lab who's been with
kids? A bit different. Yeah, it's a bit different.
Completely
Labradors
different.
Labradors are more likely to bite you than any other dogs.
Collies actually are the ones that bite the most, believe it or not. But staffs are more likely to do damage to children.
Yeah, I think they give a bit of a nip if someone's abusing them, but like a proper attack, you know, a mauling would come from one of the dangerous dogs, from a really aggressive dog.
Well, hang on, I've got to Nuala and Jason before I finish here. Nuala, hi.
How are you? I think the problem is a lack of kind of proper balance in thinking, because, you know, if you're on the HAP scheme, the landlord can exit at any time for particular reasons, and a family is left out
on the street,
you know, homeless.
Yeah.
So I think when you're offered something, and like, you have to think of the children and their education and you know, where they'll have a kind of a reasonable life. Like, we all, I mean, I have had to part with cows, would you believe? I used to make them every day for 10 years, and I had names on them all. I loved them all. But at the end, because the group I was with moved, I couldn't bring them with me. But I would think about them all the time and hope that they were looked after and that they were fed and that, you know.
So the cows were your pets?
Well, they would have been my pets.
Yeah. How many cows did you have, Nuala? How many cows?
Sorry?
How many cows did you have?
About three or four, and then there were calves as well. So I would take care of them every day and feed them and make sure they were milked on time, because I hand milked them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I had a kind of, you could say, a relationship with them. You know, they were my...
Like members of the family. Yeah.
But I mean, I saw one once, and about three or four, well, a month afterwards, I was passing a field where she was grazing away, and I called her name, and she didn't even look round.
Nah, so like, couldn't give a shite.
You know, a dog is different. A dog will remember you 10 years later. He'll come up and...
I'd say a cow remembers you. She just doesn't give a crap. I'd say they do remember you. They're like cats. Cats, for example, are not really very loyal pets. Most cats. Dogs are. Dogs are different. You know what I mean?
But is cat, whoever feeds it, is his best pet.
It's like husbands. Husbands are very loyal.
They're the master. You know, with a dog, he's kind of dependent on the person.
Yeah.
I can understand.
Okay, so I'm running out of time here. What should she do? Should she get rid of the dog?
Well, I think she has to think of her children and take the house, because you could be left in Galway, you'll be left back of the list, and you'll be waiting another 10 years, and your kids will be given out to you later on. Why didn't you
out of the house for the dog? Yeah, exactly. No, I couldn't agree with you more. Thank you for that, Nuala. I'm running out of time rapidly here. Stay there, Lorraine. I have some young fella on the phone here. Hello.
How are you?
Yeah, Jason, how are you?
How are you?
Yeah, you know your place, don't you, mate?
No, I'm sorry I can't talk to you. I'm out here trying to earn money to feed a house full of dogs and kids.
Yeah, I know, yeah. Jason, you do realise your wife is crackers, don't you? Oh, well, she's not even your wife yet. She's your partner. Yes, you need to make her your wife.
She's legally mine. If I marry her now, she's legally mine then. No, not a hope. She's still a mummy and daddy's home. You're right, she is crackers.
She is.
She tries to convince me them dogs ain't in the house. I have a rule, out the back during the day, no problem with the Germans and her little fanny licker sleeping in the house at night time when I'm not there. That's security. You know what I mean? She's the best alarm we have, is the little fanny licker, because that barks at everything. And when they see the German shepherd...
The fanny licker?
Yes, that's one of them.
That's the little small dog. What? Lorraine,
Do you want to know what this one's name
what?
Is? Daisy.
Daisy, the fanny licker.
Daisy.
Lorraine, I didn't know you had two dogs.
Is a rescue one. This one we rescued.
Oh, this is not the favourite, though, isn't that?
No, she was very badly treated. Now, in all fairness, when we got her, like, she was, you know, she was...
Oh, well, here, on that note, hang on that note. Lorraine, would you give up Daisy for the house?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. So there's favouritism going on here.
Yeah.
Well, as I said, Lulu is my protector. She's my best friend. She is the one I know.
And what's Daisy? Just like an inconvenience.
She's our kid's pet.
She's the kid's pet.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So in the burning building situation, Daisy or Jay, you'd save Jay.
Yeah.
Lulu or Jay, you'd save Lulu.
Lulu.
I save Lulu, yeah, 100%.
God.
Jay knows I would have given up the house. When we got offered this house, Jay knows I would have given up the house if you wasn't
ever good. We were sort of told that when we moved into the house and the dog and us were all safe. Then she sort of broke the news. So, you know, we were going to give this up for the dog.
I mean, Jay, how would you have reacted at the time if the council had to put their foot down and said, listen, Lorraine, you're not getting the house if you bring the dog? How would you, and Lorraine turned around and said, okay, fine, we won't take the house. So how would you react to Jason?
What could I do? I have to support this if your partner.
Would you not
crackers
be
crackers? All she is.
A crackers.
I would be, but Niall. But she, I mean, crackers. We're a family. We're a family. In all fairness, we are. I have to give her that. We are. And when Jason came along, and even the way he was very sick, and the way Lulu was with him, and the way Lulu guarded him, and just sat there, and just now she's part of this crew. We'd all live in the truck, to be honest. That's being honest with you, Niall. Like, Lulu was there for her when Lorraine was going to her. And I wasn't there. You know the job I do now. Never there, Paul. You do know that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I feel comfortable lying out in this truck at the side of motorways. I could be murdered. But I know that anybody comes through that door, that dog will fucking tear them apart. And how we know it, we dressed me up one night. Do you remember, Lorraine?
Oh, yeah.
In a full black outfit, and I pulled. Remember the old snorkel jackets, Niall?
Yeah.
So I got something like that on me, and I came over the back wall, right, in the night. And what did she do, Lorraine?
She went for you.
Went straight for me. That I jumped straight back over the wall, jumped, took all the stuff out of me, and then commanded it to sit. So now Lulu is part of us, unfortunately. Mad as she is, Lorraine.
Okay, well, hang on, let me just bring on one more dog lover. Go ahead, sorry. Billy, hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you keeping?
Good. Just very quickly, because I'm way out of, over time now. But Lorraine, you know, is sticking to her guns on this, and she believes the girl should just give up the idea of the house and wait for the next one.
Niall, I'm part of the German Shepherd fan club as well, as you're well aware. In this case, I think, you know, the house, the kids kind of have to come first. As much as it pains me to say it, but yeah, I'm in a situation, I'm a single guy. If I get kicked out of my house, I can bring the dog with me. But if there was kids involved, Niall, I don't know if I could.
No, see what I mean, lads.
As Jay said, we'd all stay in the truck.
It's just me and the dog. I can make that work, but you know, if there was kids involved, that'd be a very tough decision. Listen, Niall, one other thing. If you're Del Boy, does that mean that Steve is Rodney?
Yeah. I don't think Steve even is as intelligent as Rodney, to be honest with you. Yeah, although sometimes he surprises me with some of the stuff that he comes out of. You know what I mean? He does surprise me sometimes. Not all the time.
On occasion.
On occasion. on occasion. Billy, thank you very much indeed. Jason and Lorraine, you're crackers, Lorraine. You know that, don't you? By the way.
We said that at the start of the program. I was mad.
Yeah, okay. Thanks. As long as we've all established that, as long as Jason knows that. By the way, Jason.
Yes, sir.
Just very quickly. When are you marrying her?
I'm telling you now, boy, and you'll be there. When I take that plunge, you'll be standing right beside me, because I know how much you love going to weddings. I know how much you love that invite. So you keep pushing it, no problem, pal. You'll be at the top table with me.
Lorraine, a nice ring would be nice, but a little solitaire would be nice, wouldn't it, Lorraine?
I'll play solitaire with her. And I'll give her a ring later on. How about that?
Yeah, nice hotel. Nothing too big, Jason. Hotel, maybe reception. 20, 30 people, 40 people
as long
maybe.
As I can only once
Lulu can come, so we have to find a hotel, dog friendly hotel.
And I can see Lulu, Lulu going down the aisle with a little pillow on her back with the two rings on it.
Dragging me by the ankles.
Yeah, and the fanny liquor left outside. Thanks, Jason. Thanks, Lorraine. What a lovely couple. Mad as hell, but a lovely couple nonetheless. All right, thank you very much indeed for everybody getting involved in the show today. Loads and loads of texts, by the way, coming in. Somebody says, yes, take the house. Of course. Find a good home for the dog with a big garden where he can run around. Barry says, Ireland spent more than $800,000 on transport and accommodation for pets of Ukrainian refugees since the war broke out. Thanks for sharing that, Barry. We did a whole show on it going back about 4 weeks ago, if you remember. Yeah, I don't think we need to know again. Corkboy says, why don't they allow pets? That should be the first issue and a red flag moving into your own home. No, it's not your house. It's the council's house. You don't have to pay the insurance or insure people for liability. The council do. That's why the council have rules around pets, depending on where you happen to be living or what the house is. Liam says, I'd say some would abandon their wives for a council house. I imagine they would, yeah. Clara says, not true. You're allowed two pets. They aren't strict. Clare, that might be in your house, but not in this one. Why does everybody think they know the rules? Clare, you haven't a clue. Sorry. Some houses, actually, some council houses allow one pet, some allow two, some allow none. Some allow a pet as long as it's not on the dangerous dog or the restricted dogs list. So it depends on where you're living, Clare. It depends on the housing agency as well, the authority. It depends on the insurance that's in the area. There's a lot of factors here, Clara. You think you know it all. Leah says, ridiculous. I was allowed a dog in my social house. Oh, just because you were allowed a dog, she should be. She's not living in the same house as you, Liva, or Leah. As long as it wasn't on the Dangerous Breeds Act. Why is it everybody thinks they know everything? You know what I mean? The girl sent in the email. I can only go by what she says. Thank you very much indeed to everyone who got involved today. These are all crackers. I think we have a couple of voice notes, by the way, just before we go here. Hold on, we see. Oh, yeah, let me go.
Just wondering, would he say the same thing if it was a blind person moving in? Sweet mother divine Christ, come on, give her a break.
Well, Sarah Jane is right. Sarah Jane is right. Just bring the dog with you. Because if you're going to get rid of him before you go to the new home, you were going to get rid of him. So you bring him to the new home and just take the chance. Just take the chance. And I know you're saying, you know... People do get their dogs caught and they get thrown out, but just take the chance, Niall. Cheers.
Stop. Take the chance, Niall, he said. Take the chance. All right. Well, if you get caught, well, then the dog gets booted out. That's going to be even worse for the kids. At least if you take the dog out of the equation at the very start, you can make up some story. If the kids are young, the dog has gone to a farm. I know it sounds horrible. Anyway, listen, thank you very much indeed to everybody who got involved in the show. Don't forget, by the way, we'll be back on Monday. I know it's a bank holiday, but we still work on bank holidays. Show doesn't stop for me for Easter bank holiday. Enjoy your Easter eggs over the weekend, by the way. Please spare a thought for us getting our bills at the end of this month. We have a lot of bills to pay. Thank you to all of those who subscribe to the podcast, who have gone to our website and have subscribed and donated. Thank you very much indeed, because you help us to pay those bills. We don't get paid for doing the show, but we try to make enough money just to pay the bills, to pay for all of this, including electricity, internet, hosting, all that kind of stuff. It's expensive. Really expensive. So please do support us and help us to at least do that by going to our website and clicking the donate button. You donate out from a fiver to 5 million. If you're very wealthy, we would love a lovely big donation. It would save us a lot of time. Thank you very much indeed. Or you can subscribe for $5.99 plus tax. Essentially, you're just buying a drink for the three of us to share. Thank you very much indeed to everybody who supports the show. We love giving you this platform. We shall talk to you again on Monday at the same time at 12 o'clock. Until then, have a lovely Easter weekend.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.